Razorback fans, welcome in to the Hog Talk podcast. My name is Kyle Sutherland. I'll be joined tonight with my co-host Porter Hayes, and we are happy to be joined by the Razorback voice, the voice of Razorback baseball, Phil Elson, also of women's basketball as well. And Phil, I'll start off by asking you, we're here just a little over a week of quarantining, and how are you spending your time with no sports?
I'm trying to stay as busy and active as possible, I'm lucky to still have my talk show halftime on ESPN Arkansas affiliates. But other than that, you know, this is a time of the year that I'm used to traveling at a moment's notice. March is usually the craziest month of the year, and I guess in this case it is too, just in a much different way. And that life has slowed down or ground down to almost a virtual halt. And without live sports to cover, on a day-by-day basis, sports radio has changed. And so I've stayed in Little Rock. I've been in a house for the last, I guess, 8 or 9 days. And I get out to run, I get out to walk, and the occasional trip to the store. But I'm just trying to adjust to whatever this new normal is.
Well, and Phil, you know, this ain't something else you got to adjust to as well. You know, you recently got your new co-host. And so how has that transition been, and has kind of the stoppage of sports per se helped you kind of grow that bond with your new co-host and getting all those wrinkles ironed out with the new show?
You know, that's a good point you bring up too. And it's interesting because it was already going to be just fun to get to know somebody new on a day-by-day basis. You're referring to Matt Jenkins, who's been with us for a little more than a month, and Matt Travis, who's producing and also is kind of a third co-host on the show too. And this forces us to also make the show about something else, which isn't really, I think it's not a force previously, but radio shows are about relationships of the hosts sometimes, aside from the day-by-day topics that you might choose. And so we've been getting to know each other on the show for the last couple of weeks in a way that we probably wouldn't have had a chance to if life was normal. So that's definitely a plan that I have to make this show a little bit different than it would have been. And that's just being forced.
And Phil, within the last week, there has been talks of possibly the MLB not just postponing their draft, but ending it altogether, of course, to save money from revenue loss that they would lose just by not having the games, because the season's supposed to start just here in a couple of weeks. Talk about your thoughts on that. If you think that I know it's really unpredictable at this point, but it's just really hypothetical right now. Do you really think that will get to that point, or do you think possibly it could be fixed, or if it gets fixed within maybe the next month or so or two? Well, by then, I guess by June is when the draft will be. But really, I guess my question mainly is, do you think that there's a very good chance of that happening and then just completely throwing away the draft altogether?
I mean, I don't really know what to expect in the next 2 months in anything. And so with the uncertainty of of what life is becoming right now, I guess all bets are on the table. You know, I mean, if there's no baseball season, which as of right now, I mean, that theoretically could be legit, then, you know, then maybe the game takes a complete pause for at least one season, which includes an incoming class of players, which creates a logjam, you know, at every other level of non-professional baseball, right down to high schools. And I mean, I guess I'd be surprised if it happens. But right now, I think all bets are off on things that we would think were reality to begin with. So I don't really know how to answer the question. Thankfully, it's not a decision I've got to worry about, but it's definitely something that I think could realistically happen.
Yeah. And also, you know, with the the talk of not having the draft, and if there's that possibility that they give players an extra year of eligibility and the new players coming in for the 2021 class, I mean, that could create a huge bottleneck effect with the scholarships and with the players that were going to leave for the draft now possibly coming back. I mean, what huge effect could that have on just the whole landscape of college baseball?
That's what I mean. I mean, the everything gets a logjam from Major League Baseball all the way down. You know, it's like you lose a year of development, you lose a year of games, you lose a year of players going up and players' careers coming to an end. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to add extra scholarships, are you going to add extra players on rosters? Is there going to be, added eligibility? I think these are all legitimate topics, but you do have to remember that no matter how many more things you add or try to do to retain what's supposed to be in the idea of fairness, I guess, you can still only have 9 players on the field at any one time. And in football, you can only have 11 on the field at any one time. That's not going to change. So, I mean, that's where this logjam will end up leading to. You know, I don't know if it's a higher level of play or if it's just a matter that players get diffused out because they want playing time and there's more playing time available at other lower level schools. So it'll be really interesting to see what does happen.
Going along with that, Phil, I know, again, we're, of course, just speaking hypothetically right now, but you look at Casey Martin, Casey Opitz, and Heston Kerstad in particular, and, of course, expected to be very high draft picks, especially Martin and Heston. So do you think that if this is to happen where you don't have a draft, do you feel that maybe right now, and again, I know you can't speak for them, but do you feel that maybe their mind pretty much is set on the big leagues and that would just really not be possibly something that they would – be interested in next year? Just as long as you've been around the game, do you feel that could possibly be an issue if it were to go that route?
I mean, if you don't have a draft, then to me, you're putting a moratorium on signing any new players for any level. I mean, I think if a draft gets skipped, that goes along with not signing international players, and American players aren't allowed to sign if there is no draft. Unless only at that point they can sign as free agents if they go through the draft and theirs and they don't get selected. So in that case, that's what I mean. Everybody gets held back a year. Then where do the players play next year? They stay where they were, or they stay as college players for a year. Yes. Then, that's the logjam that we're talking about. You know, Heston Kerstad, Casey Martin, Casey Opitz should have all, you know, and Zebulon Vermillion too. All these guys should have been able to have their professional careers begin, once the Razorback season came to an end. But if there's nowhere for them to go play because Major League Baseball's putting a moratorium on any new players, then they're going to come back to Arkansas, I would assume. I mean, otherwise they're just going to sit out for another year. I don't think they would do that.
Yeah, and kind of switching subjects, you know, how we were talking about earlier in the interview about the relationships, you know, going off on you and Bubba's relationship, and we've kind of seen over, you know, the past couple of years that relationship grow, and now that has also come to a halt, and, you know, between you and him going back and forth on the radio show and plus with the halftime, I mean, that it's really been fun for me to listen to, and now it's kind of come to a halt. Talk about, you know, what that also does, you know, when you're trying to build that relationship with a play-by-play guy and your color guy, you know, and now you don't have that to go off of now.
Well, I miss doing games with Bubba more than anything right now, as far as, you know, what I do professionally. I love doing games solo, but I really enjoy doing games with Bubba. And we got lucky in that there was chemistry and a thought that neither one of us was going to insult the other, while we could just disagree and argue and have fun from the very first broadcast we did together. So Yeah, I mean, yeah, he and I stay in touch. I mean, we talk on the phone every week, and you know, he comes on the show, and I mean, just because we're not going to do games this season, I fully intend on on there being a 2021 baseball season, and for Bubba and me to be back on the radio again. You know, this is just you just have to keep the friendship up another way, and I think that'll happen anyway.
And Phil, of course, we weren't able to get into the SEC part of the season. That's cut short, obviously, just right before the Mississippi State series. But during the beginning, the first seven games, everybody was obviously very excited. You start off 7-0, then you go to Houston and have a really tough weekend there. And then, of course, you lose to Eastern Illinois. It was you get on the five-game losing streak, but then they finish with a four-game win streak. There was a lot of questions, of course, at pitching. But do you feel that just off the, 16 games that we saw, do you really feel like that they were starting to figure it out? I'm not asking you to predict whether they were going to go to Omaha or anything, but do you really feel like that they were really kind of starting to figure out exactly what kind of team that they had going into conference play, and they were just going to get a lot of things turned around to give fans a lot of hope?
I think there were some glimmers of hope that were starting to show where you needed them, but there were also just as many potential question marks as far as starting pitching was going to be the big question right now, because you know they'd had a couple of subpar starts from Patrick Wicklander, and Connor had skipped the start and was going to be coming back from what seemed like a mild oblique strain. But obliques are touchy in the world of baseball, especially for pitchers, and who knows how effective he would have been. Not to say that he wouldn't have gone out and had a great first game back against Mississippi State. But, you know, just because they were on a four-game winning streak doesn't mean they'd figured everything out. It just means they'd gotten that winning mojo back, and they were going to score runs. I don't think that was going to be the issue for this team. They'd leave some guys on base here and there, but really, I mean, they would score enough to win games that they should win. The question was going to be starting pitching and you know, who was ready to step into important roles in the bullpen. And I think that was just starting to maybe show signs of being good where you needed to be, but it was way too early to know whether or not they were, you know, turning a corner. There is no turning a corner coming into the SEC baseball season. That's when you find out. That's when rubber meets road. So we were about to find out if rubber was going to pass the test.
So, Phil, when, you know, when things get back to normal and, you know, all this calms down and the players are back, able to get back on the field, how long will it take to, you know, get these players back to 100% with the mechanics and the regiment and getting back in that routine of, you know, everyday life in SEC baseball?
Well, I mean, baseball is as routine of a sport as it comes to. And I mean, like, you know, a daily routine of a sport. It takes time to get that timing back and get arms in shape. And, you know, but I mean, they know that this season's over, that they'll be able to come back in a month and a half or something and, you know, play some sort of a 2-month season. Our season's done. Right now, the only thing they'd be hoping for is that they'd be able to return together and use the weight room and the Fowler Center and get ready for each of them to go out and play whatever summer ball they were going to play. Or if there is a draft, for the guys to get ready to, you know, maybe go, you know, go to a scouting combine of some sort. You know, that's the one thing about the college and high school seasons being canceled for the major league teams is that they don't have anybody to scout right now. You know, they followed these guys for the last 2 years mostly, but you know, there are important decisions made in these last 4 months leading up to the draft that they don't get a chance to watch the kids. So, as far as like, you know, what it probably takes at least like 3 to 4 weeks to be fully ready to play baseball in the way that it needs to be played. So hopefully they have that time and they can go play ball in the summer somewhere.
As we finish up, I want to switch gears to the other sport that you also commentate for, being women's basketball. And Mike Nabors has done a great job with what he's been able to do in just completing his third season. And that's another one that was cut short at the heat of right as they were about to figure out their NCAA tournament seeding. Talk about, since really, I'm not sure exactly how long you've been the play-by-play guy for them, but with what Mike Nabors has done so far there, Do you feel like next year, obviously this year it was really nobody competing with South Carolina. It was just, they were just tough all the way around, including their bench, just the whole nine yards. But do you feel like even next year with almost everybody except for two players coming back, of course, one of them being toll-free, next year they're even going to take that step even more and being a top four team in the SEC or maybe even one of the top two possibly?
I think that they could be in the top four. They already were this year. So I don't see there's not going to be a major drop off for the team next year. Mike's got a good incoming class. They're going to be loaded with experience and depth, especially at the one and the two and the three positions. Jalen Mason, who sat out all year, she's going to be able to return. And that adds a whole other level of leadership and game planning ability for that team. South Carolina is going to be as good as they are for a while right now. They are built to last. And I'm not saying Arkansas can't compete with them, but they're going to be a difficult team to plan for. And Mike definitely has them going in an upward trajectory. They were a team that would have been a matchup nightmare, depending on who they were slotted against in the NCAA tournament. And I think a run to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight was not out of the question, maybe even a step farther than that, you know, depending if things went the right way. Next year, they're going to be really good. They're going to be really good. They're going to be dangerous. They're going to be exciting. And people are going to be fired up and ready to go, considering what was taken away from them this year.
Yeah, and kind of going off of that, you know, just you being on the inside and covering the team and traveling the team, just how hard was that on the team that, you know, they were on a mission this year to make it to the NCAA tournament, getting, you know, by some, me included, you know, snubbed out of the NCAA tournament last year. You know, how hard was that that they didn't get to, you know, the selection show and get to see where they were going and get the chance to compete in that NCAA tournament?
Yeah, it's got to be difficult for them because that's where, you know, they as a team together were working towards. That's a difficult thing to have taken away from you when it's right there in front of you. And, you know, they had 2 weeks between their last game against Carolina in Greenville and what would have been their first game in the NCAA tournament. So they had the week to rest and relax and ramp up. And at the end of that week, you know, the world was turned upside down and that disappeared right in front of them. So it's definitely a difficult thing to take, you know, and I wasn't around them when the decision was made. I was around baseball and those guys had their entire season taken away from them. I don't mean to try to compare apples to oranges and anything. I'm happy for the women's basketball team that they had their full regular season. They've got a year that mostly happened, except the cherry on the top, and that sucks. The baseball team and all the spring sports, they had a year of work wiped out, and that's tragic. But this is one thing I'm learning from here right now. We all have to sacrifice right now. All the athletes had to sacrifice something. You guys probably had to sacrifice something. I am too. We all have to. There's nothing we can do about it. Life has changed. And when the sun peaks out again and normalcy returns, whatever it is, I bet you those athletes will, they'll have the memories of things that were taken away from them. They'll be so damn excited to be back on the field again that they won't care about it. And I'll be right there with them.
Well, and like you said, I mean, I remember you hearing on the radio, you were talking about when you get this back. And I believe it was in your TV interview out of Little Rock when you're talking about when you get this back, you're going to cherish it just that much more. And I think all of us who cover, who content, the players, the coaches, I think all of us are really going to, you know, really cherish what we have moving forward.
That's true. That's true. When things are taken away from you, you appreciate them a heck of a lot more. You know, and I think it's interesting to look at it in some sense, because an injured athlete that is forced to miss an entire season probably feels the same way, like what we're talking talking about. You know, this is a different situation, obviously, because this is a societal upending, not just for one person and a single athlete, but I hear the same thing from athletes who are forced to miss an entire year because they don't know what to do with themselves when they're not playing games, you know? And I think that that's what we're facing now too. So we find other things to take joy in, go for a run, read a book, sit around, have a conversation, look at nature. I don't want to focus right, you know, too much on what's been taken away because I'm trying to figure out how to live life the way that I need to live it right now.
Yeah, we could sit and argue about foul pole, fair pole, and three up, three down, and striking up the side.
That's right. That's right. That's what I mean. I mean, you try to have a little fun with people here and there and create a diversion of some sort by arguing semantics for baseball terminology.
All right. Well, Phil, I think that will just about wrap it up. Really appreciate you coming on and giving your thoughts. Of course, as you mentioned, you know, the two sports that you do the play-by-play for, we will never know what this season had to hold, especially, like you said, the girls were right there on the cusp of figuring out where they were going to be seated. And it sucks, but, you know, at the end of the day, humanity is the safety of all humanity is what really does count. And so you just got to take it as it is. I agree with you. So, well, for those, of course, that want to catch more Phil, if you don't already, definitely be sure to catch them. They're him and, if you said, Matt Jenkins and also Maddie T. Old Maddie T. We've known about him for years, and they're 12-2, the halftime pod, and it's 96. Is it 95.3? Is that right?
We're 95.3 in Fort Smith, 96.3 Hot Springs, and 104.3 in Harrison. And hitthatline.com is the places to get those.
Yeah, great content. Of course, they have a morning show. They've got all kinds of great stuff, and so be sure to catch them on there. But that will do it here for us. As always, we thank you guys for tuning in. For Phil Elson, Porter Hayes, my name's Kyle Sutherland. We'll catch you next time on the Hog Talk.